let's do a show. Adam, can we do a show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you guys have any notes that you go over, or is that all ad-libbed?
I have the notes, but Adam doesn't bother.
Okay, that's fine. Guide me. I'll be here.
I stopped giving Adam notes on what, episode 4?
Yeah, something like that.
You just said, oh, look, I'm not reading them. Don't waste your time. Just let me know when does Exifoku start?
So yeah. Is there anything I should know? Anything, the order of things or anything?
Just that you've made a horrible mistake saying yes to this.
That's, I'm getting that, yeah.
Hello and welcome to episode 411 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is...
Adam, of course.
In Vancouver. And joining us, former from Tübingen but now living in Hanover. I'm going to call it Hanover, Chris. Is that all right?
That is fine. Hi there.
Chris Marquardt. Everybody knows you. If I'm introducing you, if they know me, they know you.
I'm not sure. Welcome. I haven't been here for a long time.
Welcome to the show, Chris.
Welcome.
Well, thanks for coming on. So if you don't know Chris Marquardt, which is, it's not possible, Chris does a show called Tips from the Top Floor. Although I've been to your recording studio, it's on the main floor now, isn't it?
It actually is, but there is a top floor in the house, at least that.
Okay. Germans are known for their accuracy, man. So how is it? Well, first of all, let's get Amazon out of the way. Amazon, if you got to buy a top floor to the house or whatever it is that you're getting, click through our site. Help us out. We appreciate it. So, Chris, what's going on? We normally ask what's going on with Adam, but his life is significantly more boring than yours.
Yeah. Go ahead, Chris.
I'm not sure about that. I'm recovering. I was in I was in Canada just a few days ago.
What part?
Toronto. Mm. Well, I was in the US in Rochester, which is like an hour from the Canadian border, and I was there with Monica, and we just went to Toronto for 2 days to visit our friends.
And what's the name of the hockey team in Rochester?
The Americans.
I have no idea.
It is. It's the Americans.
Hockey? What is this hockey thing you're talking about?
I thought I was going to ask you wait a second. What's the name of the hockey team in Toronto?
I don't even know that.
Oh, no.
I'm German. I know about hockey?
Oh, no. This is a tough one.
Yeah.
This is a good start. This is a good start to this.
All right. That's the Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you name a hockey team?
We gave you two. We just gave you two.
No, don't no, can't use those. Can't use those.
I know. No.
One of them is on the front of my son's jersey in one of the photos we'll discuss later. Okay.
Was that no? That was the Tübingen Hawks, but that's baseball, right?
that is baseball. So you were in Rochester. You're in Toronto. What were you doing in Rochester?
Well, first and foremost, visiting friends and going to the Eastman Museum. So there was some photographic part of that. I met with an assistant professor at the Rochester Institute of Technology, who's there in the photographic sciences department. His name is Ted Kinsman. He's been doing a lot of very technical things, snowflake photography, high-speed photography, scanning electron microscope photography, and got a tour there. And then on Halloween, we did some high-speed video pumpkin smashing in his garden.
High-speed video pumpkin smashing.
Yeah. You smash pumpkins and you make high-speed video of it.
How fast?
I think about 1,000 frames a second.
That's pretty fast.
That was cool. That was he's got wonderful toys to play with.
Well, what does he shoot that with? Is that like a consumer camera or something he made in the basement?
No, it's a commercial camera. It's not a Phantom. I don't remember the name, but it's in that league of like 1,000 frames a second.
Nice. And
very nice. Yeah.
You got to Rochester via, did you fly to Germany or?
We got to Rochester on an airplane from, from.
Let's cut the chase.
I'm still recovering. I'm in the wrong time zone, so hey, I'm not my best game today.
Is anybody on this Skype call? Was anybody in Morocco recently?
That too, yeah. But okay. I didn't go to Rochester from Morocco. I spent a total of three days back home to, I don't know, do like a gazillion of things, and then off we went to Rochester.
And so what? Okay, so I know Rochester sounds exotic, but let's hear about Morocco.
Morocco is just Morocco. No, Morocco is awesome.
What? Okay. What were you doing in Morocco?
Well, Morocco was a proper photo tour, which is what I do when I, where I take people to exotic places, and Morocco was one of them. And we went to various cities there, to Marrakesh. The Medina there was beautiful, lots of great things to see. We drove over the Atlas Mountains, we went to Berber villages, we saw like palaces and kasbahs, which are like old forts. Mm-hmm. We went to the kasbah where the movie Ben-Hur was shot. You might be old enough to remember that.
I saw it in the theater.
Right? Ben-Hur was shot there. They actually built like new structures there back then, and they're still there. Really? So lots of movies have been shot there. It's a very iconic location. Quite a sight to see. Mm-hmm. We saw the Sahara. We spent spent a night in the big sand dunes. We saw oases, desert landscapes, markets. We ate dates directly from the palm tree.
Ooh,
that was the best ever.
That's the Indiana Jones reference. So Adam, you dropped your kids off at school the other day. How was that?
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, it was raining.
Sounds about the same.
Yeah, it's a tie. We'll call it a tie.
How long were you in Morocco for?
That was a 2-week tour. Yeah, two weeks.
2 weeks. And what would you say? I know all those things you listed. What was the highlight?
The tannery in Fez.
The tannery in Fez.
Okay, Fez is where those red hats come from.
Right.
That you might be familiar with. Mm-hmm. And there's one of the oldest tanneries in the world. And there's like, I don't know, a couple of hundred vats of different colors and people up to their hips in them, moving leather around. And the smell is something to remember. They actually, when you go there, they give you fresh mint leaves to kind of counter the smell. So you see tourists with like fresh mint leaves stuck in their nostrils.
And what does it smell like?
Well, traditionally, leather is being tanned in like urine.
Mm-hmm.
And not the freshest one. I'm not sure what they use right now. I don't think they pee in it, but I personally didn't think it was too bad because, I mean, I grew up on the countryside, so I'm not that squeamish when it comes to smells, but some of the people that were with us were like, a bit stressed out by that. But the photos, I mean, we actually got to go there down on the ground where they're just like an overview from above, which is also the shop where they then want to sell you some of the leather stuff. Mm-hmm. But then there's also like the ground where the people do the actual work that you cannot usually get to. But we found a way to do that. And we weaved in and out between the guys who worked there. And it was pretty amazing.
And now most of the photographs I see coming from that part of the world make everything. Everybody seems to have they all seem to have a common theme. And that is window/door light. Is that very common there, or is that all that's there, or people just seem to like it? Why is that what I'm seeing?
I don't know. I mean, the light there is amazing, and there are several places that are beautiful. There's, for example, a palace in, let me think where it was. I don't remember the name, but there's a palace that has beautiful stained glass mosaic doors, and they are like all different kinds of colors, and then the sun comes through and projects those on the wall, and there's some really interesting things. Something that, oh yeah, so interesting, completely unrelated. While we were there, Apple announced their new products, including the MacBook Air. Mm-hmm. When I came back, I went to the Apple website, looked at the MacBook Air, and they use a photo of, to advertise the MacBook Air. It's a photo on the screen of that MacBook Air of a girl in front of a mosaic wall and a door, and she has colorful light on her face.
Uh-huh. It was that door?
And I, well, it was exactly that door where I shot like a week before. So that was pretty interesting.
And it was your photo. Dun, dun, dun.
No, it was not. Unfortunately not. But hey, Apple, if you need someone to shoot your next campaign, you know where to find me.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, did anybody else shoot anything interesting? Adam?
No, I did not.
I know, not that you have to compete with that, but maybe there's some interesting things.
Yeah, no? Maybe not. No.
Not for you. Okay.
Not really. Yeah.
Well, I'll go. I shot the rink opened up again, so I went ice skating. So I don't know if it's that interesting to shoot, but there's a photo of me and my son in our Vancouver Canucks jerseys. There's a team for you, Chris.
Ah, okay. I'm making notes here.
The Canucks. Yeah, now that I'm looking at it, I thought his said Canucks on it, but it says Vancouver. So, and you're probably not going to get it from the old hockey rink stick design on mine. So I brought the camera for that. But the thing that I did shoot that I possibly was interesting to me anyways, I'd offered, my son plays Bambini soccer, which is basically under the age of 8 or 7, 6. I'm not sure now. It's the little kids who run around like amoebas, essentially. And so it's not really soccer, but it's soccer. He loves it. And so I said, well, hey, how about this year, you know, for Christmas or whatever it is you want to do, I will do the standard, you know, the standard soccer photos for the team. It's like 25 kids on the team or something like that. And I basically wanted a picture of my son. And I said, well, while I'm there getting set up, I'll offer to do it for all the kids. Something that Adam would do, right?
Yep.
Okay. So I did that. The kids were baffled. Nobody knew the soccer pose. Like growing up, I mean, I played soccer for a couple of years when I was a kid, and the pose is you're down on one knee, hand on the ball, hand on the other knee, and that's it. But the kids were very confused, but we managed to do it. And I'd forgotten that this was the week that we had turned the clocks back. So we had dark, dark skies during practice. Kind of wanted to include some of the background, but so they have lights. We have lights on the field, but that only lights up the field. It does not light up any of the background. Like they have all the lights perfectly angled, just cut off right at the edge of the field. And so I was basically shooting these with a four light setup for each of the kids, and trying to drag the shutter a little bit to keep some ambience in the background so it wasn't just a black background. What do you think of the colors of the ambient lights?
What are they made of? I mean, what's the technology?
I'm not sure. I think they might run on that urine that you're mentioning. Because in person, like, you know how lights look differently, you know, when you photograph them versus in person, somehow your eye adjusts and makes the adjustment. Even in person, these look ugly, but they're not even coming up green. It was just kind of a green brown. Can you have brown light?
I don't know.
Okay,
probably.
15 more minutes on this because it's obviously a eye-catching stuff. Point being is I could have gelled the lights probably with a green or something. My lights to sort of match, but I don't even know if I could a white balance of that background. It was so ugly. So ultimately, I hope the cute kids override the background. So Adam, the answer is no. No one shot anything interesting.
I did actually shoot a little bit of video, but that's my part that's interesting.
What'd you shoot?
Just hockey.
Okay, so then no.
So no. Yeah, no, what I found is that focusing is a problem on the SLR with hockey. That it is no easy task. So everything was shot at like an F-18 and just basically, you know, keep it more or less in the middle of the ice and hope that everything is in focus.
Which lens are you shooting with?
I did two games. One was with the 70-200 and yeah. One was with the 17-40.
Not an easy prospect. Well, you watch the games on TV, on CBC or whatever it is, or I guess they don't show them anymore, do they? But
sometimes, yeah.
Everything's pretty much in focus there. Like they have a very, very deep focus for that reason. It's very difficult to keep everything in focus. So fast moving, so unpredictable. Like in certain other sports, you can predict where the focus is going to be. Like baseball, for example. Hockey, not so much, and it's really, you are really battling with the DSLR.
Yeah, and then I saw a parent, because he also, one of the other parents on our team, was taking video as well, and he sent me his footage afterwards just so I could have a look, and it was basically a consumer, one of these Costco HD sort of little handheld handy cams now, and his video looked amazing compared to mine. And then I just thought, all right, I looked at the price tag on the camera at Costco last time I was there, the upgraded version of what he had. I was like, all right, it's $249. So I just kind of throw in the towel on video with the SLR.
Sure. But I'm guessing the size of the
sensor. In this capacity. Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, it does a great job for that. I mean, for $200 and something, the sensor size is probably a postage stamp.
Yeah,
which is why everything's in focus, and thus, I mean, that's not why, but everything else to go along with that makes everything in focus, and so it's much easier to handle.
But up blown up on a big screen TV, because I actually watched the footage of his and mine on, you know, the 100-inch projection HD. And I was like, his is better. Like, there's no two ways about it. His is better. And I'm thinking, that's ridiculous. And the effort that I'm going through to get a lesser quality product, I'm going to stick to the photos.
Does he have a podcast?
He should. Maybe he should.
Yeah, you're out. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Just drop your mic off at his house.
Okay, I will.
All right. Let's get to the photo challenge then. This week was Gobo or Cookie. What's the difference? I mean, is there a difference between Gobo and Cookie, Chris?
I don't really know. I mean, I know what a Gobo is, but... We, by the way, have different terms for that here in Germany, so that's why I'm struggling.
What do we call it?
You know what? The gobo, especially one that simulates leaves, in film in Germany, they call this Kokolores.
Hence Cookie. That's Cookie for short.
Yep, I know. But I think those are, maybe the Cookie is a specialized one and the gobo is more of a general term.
See, I know it going to film school. I learned it as Cookie. Being short for Kokolores, I'd never heard Gobo until a few years ago, which I'd heard was a acronym, isn't it? Or portmanteau? No. Which is
it? What, the Gobo?
Yeah.
Gobo is for go between, right?
I thought it was goes before optics. That's what I always heard.
Yeah. Someone told me once it says it's for go between, but both work.
Either way, I mean, I think they do the exact same thing. We learned all about Kokolores, Charlie bars. Have you ever heard that term?
Nope.
Which is just essentially it's just like a flat bar. It's like one, I guess, strip out of like a Venetian blinds that you would put up and just kind of just cast one simple shadow and just bust up your bust up the light, and that's called a Charlie bar. Yay. Okay. No test at the end, Adam.
Okay, I stopped paying attention.
Clearly. So anyway, so Gobo is we're making interesting shadows. So as always, we're gonna let the guest go first and have a look at the picket fence photo.
The picket fence photo. So I have I did this is not an official part of this of this challenge because I didn't take this photo for this one. It was already in existence, so I went and picked one. But this is a photo. Yeah, it's a picket fence in Greenland. It's a bed sheet. Someone hung up a bed sheet to dry, and it's blowing in the wind like a sail, and it's in front of that picket fence, and the sun's shining at it from behind, and it made that nice shadow. So that's why I took it. I also took it because in Greenland you see a lot of people hanging their laundry out to dry, so seeing laundry in the villages is kind of a normal thing
for 3 weeks out of the year.
No, all the time. Doesn't matter if it's cold or warm.
Okay. So even in the minus 10?
Oh, yeah. They have their laundry out.
Huh. Okay.
I guess that's what they call freeze drying, right?
Sure. Just before we get back to the photo, the white picket fence in Greenland, why is it such a foreign concept in Germany? There are no white picket fences here.
No, there aren't.
And photographically, I love them.
Don't ask me why Germans have different fences. I don't like fences at all. So,
oh right,
there you have it.
It's because of the wall, right?
No,
it's been like a long time, 30-something years now. Just let it go. Too soon? yeah, actually, in all honesty, all kidding aside, for some reason, the concept of a fence in Germany, they're all function, no form, which I don't understand. Like, you go to like the playgrounds of the kindergartens or whatever it is, the fences are horribly ugly, like just absolute eyesores, so that you're trying very hard not to have them in the background of your photos when you're like shooting your kids in the playground or whatever it is. Whereas, you know, if you have a nice white picket fences, it becomes a nice design element in your photo. Don't know why.
Where's your reference frame? Is it just southern Germany? Because there I would completely agree with you.
Yes.
But up here in northern Germany, I think the fences, there's a fence gradient towards the north of Germany. They become more beautiful.
Okay. And maybe that could be the Nordic influence, perhaps?
Possible.
That's my guess, because you also see more colored, I guess we're starting to see more colored buildings here, but here in Tübingen, but generally, like the southern Germans, they enjoy the color white on their walls, and that's that.
That's pretty accurate, yeah.
So I don't know why it is, but your interiors, like all our friends' houses, all the interior walls are white, the end, full stop, and ours are not. We mixed up a little bit. But anyways, getting back to your photo, you sent me three. I picked this one. This was a hands down. They're all good. This was a hands down favorite because this is like, this is a postcard, at worst a postcard, at best, like this is really, this is some Salvador Dali art stuff right here.
For me, it's just a snapshot because that's pretty much what it was. I saw this, the yes. Wind was right, the thing was doing what it was doing, and then the photo happened.
Okay, Adam, pick a side. Is this art or BS?
I think it's art. I actually really like it. And I think it's something about the texture of the sheet that I really like.
There's a lot going on here, and I will submit that you consider it to be a snapshot because you took this recently, I'm guessing?
It's a few years ago, but I mean, maybe the reason why I consider this a snapshot is because the laundry hanging outside of buildings was such a normal thing there. Mm-hmm. That after a while it was just part of the landscape. So taking a picture of it was just a picture.
Right. I also find that like for images I take that are objectively decent to good images, I find them to be snapshots as well. Because I can still remember what it was like, what the surrounding areas were like, or what the circumstances were of me being there to get that shot. And especially if I didn't set anything up, if I just happened to recognize or notice something cool, I kind of underplay it in my mind, which is reasonable to do. But in this case, Adam and I were not there, so I'm going to disagree and say yes, it is really fantastic the way the light hits the the very little part of the picket fence that you can see, that backlighting, and then especially on the right side, you can see where all the shadows actually meet the fence at the very bottom.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I like the way that comes up, and that we have straight lines, we got curves. I like it. Adam, let's have a look at yours.
Okay. Also a snapshot yesterday morning, morning sun just before school, saw the light coming through as it does. I mean, recent time change, so everything's a little bit different, but this is, 5 minutes before we left for school. And I said, please sit here, daughter of mine, so I can take this photo challenge. Had the new lens. We sort of alluded to it. I bought the 17-40 f/4 lens, just a used version, last weekend, and so it was on the camera, and I said, I'm going to take this this person shot with the wide angle. I think I ended up zooming it into 40 mils and then just snapping this.
And did you position her with the shadow on her face on purpose?
Yep, I did. I kind of moved it around a little bit. I took about three shots, one with the shadow more across her ear. I didn't like it. One where it was more in the middle of face. I didn't like it. And then I just kind of went with this one that sort of wrapped around somewhere in between. And just based on, like, I wanted to shoot the wall to get all of that. I really wanted to go hard on the gobo effect here. So I was shooting the wall as well. So at the angle, and it was too bright for her to look any other direction. So we went with this, as our final product. Again, could have probably given more time, done something a little different, but I like the effect.
Mm-hmm. Now, again, maybe this is just Southern Germany, Chris, but they don't really go in for the Venetian blinds down here.
No, not really. But this works really well. This works really well. I like the way the parallel lines repeat. And again, this is like the bedsheet shot. You have the lines on the wall, and then they turn into a curve on the sofa. So it has something similar going on there.
And how did you choose the white balance?
That was just the 5,000, like just daylight white balance. It's just because, again, it's the light just coming up early in the morning. This is very gold light, so I just kept the white balance where I thought it should be, what it looked like to my eye.
All right, this is morning. I thought it was the evening light, but that doesn't make any sense geographically.
Yeah, this is morning light.
Nice. It's always nice when you can find the gobos, as you guys did, and I tried to do. I actually posted, there's a shot of my daughter kind of squinting a little bit in the sun with a nice, I guess we'd call that cucullorus across her chest from those are actual leaves. I just didn't much care for this shot. This wasn't good enough. We're having Chris coming on the show. I kind of want to pull out all the stops, you know?
Step your game up.
Step my game up. And so, but before I shot, you know, what I will submit for mine, I shot this photo. And then I saw my son in very similar, and while I like the lighting and the way it shapes his face, he looks like a really short 65-year-old beat cop. And so I said, I don't like this one at all. And then so today I spent the bulk of my morning wasting my time trying to light one. So I just said, okay, I'm going to light one. So I had an idea where I'm going to do a double gobo. I mean, I knew you guys would just kind of phone it in with the single gobos.
Right.
So I said, I'm going to double gobo this. I'm going to have smoke in behind, which I'm going to backlight, but I'm going to shoot that through a laundry hamper. That's going to make it some kick-ass gobo effect on the smoke itself. And then I'm going to hard light myself with a hood on, because that's how you do it. And I'm going to gobo that. And this is what turned out. And you can see why I'm not submitting this one.
I was trying to find the gobo effect in the smoke there.
Yeah, me too.
How did you get that smoke?
A fog machine.
Oh, I was going to say, okay. Something he set on fire, yeah.
Yes. No.
Yeah, have one of those, okay?
I do. Oh, if you don't have one, I highly recommend picking one up. They're slightly north of free now. They I don't think, what are they, $35, Adam?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. They're wicked cheap. Even if you use it once every year for a photo shoot, I highly recommend picking one up. They're really handy. Not in this case. This case was a complete waste of my time. However, normally it's really cool. And early on, now I was shooting inside with this, and so in my basement, we'll call it studio. Once the smoke tends to linger, the fog tends to linger, so you have a very small window of opportunity to shoot how you want it, and then it fills up the room and kind of diffuses things too much. And this was shot later. You believe this wasn't even the first attempt. This was like attempt number 15, I hate to say. And so by then it was just too smoky, so the effect is lost in the background. You can barely see the effect on my a little bit on my face, maybe. I think my nose is technically a gobo. and then across my chest, you can see it. So this is I said, you know what? I can't submit this in all good conscience. And so last, we have the one I'm going to submit is the one in the hat. I'm going to take five while you guys rip this one.
So that's your detective shot.
Yeah.
Is that the exact same expression?
I have the one.
Like on the other shot?
Yeah, I only have the one. It's stoic smile, but in my head I'm smiling. But in real life, I'm that guy in the bus you don't want to make eye contact with.
Yeah.
So
that does evoke some film noir in me.
Mm-hmm. Should have been black and white then?
If you were going for a film noir look, which that certainly alludes to, then black and white would have been the better choice. But then you wouldn't have the nice color. I mean, you have the, from the right hand side, you have the bluish tint, which suggests light coming from the outside, and on the left side you have the warm color, which is an inside light. So you have this, like, you're just walking out of a place there.
That's fairly accurate. Both of those lights are from a flash. There's nothing, no ambient heat to speak of. I threw a flash outside of my house and then shot it through the window, which I used duct tape to basically tape a gobo to the inside of the window.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what kind of creates that shadow across my face. And I positioned myself. The reason I shot myself is because I was home alone today and didn't have an image. You know, I didn't want to phone it in and just go to my archives from Greenland. So I don't like to shoot the selfies for these, but I had no choice. So I positioned myself so that it would hit my left eye. That was the plan. And then had the so that was gelled with the CTB, full CTB outside, and then a full CTO on the flash inside, which was meant to be an interior light, and hence that's why I didn't shoot it in black and white, because we've seen a lot of the film noir lately in our submissions for the monthly challenge, and so I didn't want to copy that directly, but kind of come close.
And I think you fully achieved that.
Yeah, there's some the backgrounds. Those are my curtains in my office. I could do it. They weren't great. I'm not a fan of this. The takeaway for me, and that I'm going to probably use going forward, is I don't often split light on the front of a face. I would you know, hit like a blue CTB on the kicker on the hair light, with the key light being with a more orange. And that's generally a front to back split versus a side to side. So it's a little bit something kind of new, and I think I'll use that moving forward. Unless Adam says no, don't do it.
I like it.
No, I just said that to be controversial.
Fake news. Okay. Good to hear. All right, let's get to the topic. The topic is, it is specifically the Canon 17-40 F4L lens. Because, well, two things. One, Adam just bought one, I think on a whim.
Yep.
I got a text the other night, a couple days ago, at night over here in Germany, plus 9 hours, and said, hey, what do you think of this lens? It's because he knows I have one. Do you like it? And I said, yeah. An hour later, it was essentially, yeah, I bought it.
Yeah.
So I didn't know you were looking for one. Meanwhile, I said, oh, wow, hopefully we can get Chris Marquardt on the show because Chris literally wrote the book on wide angle photography.
I wrote a book on wide angle photography.
See, I think you're selling yourself short. I only know of one.
And it's a good book, though. I like it.
What is the name of the book?
It's called Wide Angle Photography.
See? The book that's on wide angle photography.
That's literally the title, yeah.
Yeah. So, the book. And when did that come out?
Just a month ago. It's pretty fresh on the market right now.
Okay. That's what we call, is it called Kismet when it works out like this? So where can people go to, we'll get back to the plugs later, of course, but where can people go to find that book?
Oh, anywhere. It's on Amazon. It's in most bookstores. And we just went in Rochester. We went to a Barnes & Noble and Stealth signed one. So there's one lucky person who's getting an autographed book.
Oh, okay. I saw that picture on your, I'm going to say, Instagram.
True.
Probably. That's where I saw it. And so I assume when you were in Rochester that you were on some sort of a book signing for that.
No. We went to a Barnes & Noble. We tracked the book down on the shelf. We nicely asked if I could sign it. And they were like, oh, absolutely. And then they brought a sticker. So the book has a sticker on it that says autographed copy. Yes, they do that at Barnes & Noble. That was really interesting.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool. See, I just go around signing Ansel Adams books.
I'm not sure they appreciate that.
I don't think they're going to fact check that. So anyway, check that out. It's Chris Marquardt's book. So, Adam, you just bought one. Why did you buy the 17-40? Why did you want one? Why did you need one?
I basically got to the end of my rope with the cheap kind of knockoff 19 to whatever it was, 28 Japanese lens that I had, and it just wasn't working consistently anymore. And so it was kind of, you know, filling my need as far as how often I was using a wide angle lens. And I really liked doing some of the hockey stuff with the wide angle up close and the sort of distorted perspective. And it was just something that I intended on doing more of this season. And then when the lens kind of went on the fritz, I thought, okay, maybe now time to invest in a little bit better quality lens. And I knew that there in the last few years that the used version of the 17-40, which was basically going to cover all of my needs and then some, had taken a bit of a price drop on the used market. So I just was kind of loosely looking. But once the lens kind of quit, I started more actively checking Craigslist and some of the used camera stores and seeing if there's anything close by. And turns out one of the local camera stores had a good condition one, and they were selling it under the sort of Craigslist market price. So I said, okay, I'm pulling the trigger on this.
Yeah, that was odd because normally you see the camera stores have a slight markup. Obviously, they have the brick, the mortar, you know, healthcare to pay for. So it was kind of odd to see it. What was the price in the store?
The price was $450 in the store Canadian.
And so you had texted me and said, hey, what do you think of this price? And I said, yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, I love my lens, so I don't know what they're going for. It turns out I went and checked Craigslist as well, and everything was starting at $500.
Yeah, I couldn't find anything under 500. And I even, you know, messaged a couple people just to see if they would come down on the price. And it just seemed like that was where people were kind of hard on the price. They figured they could get $500 for a used version. So I was happy to take the one from the store, just being that, you know, I feel, well, they give you a warranty. So I think they gave me I think they ended up with a 6-month warranty, which you're not going to get when you walk away from the guy at his at the SkyTrain store with the Craigslist buy. So you get that little feeling of, oh, at least it's probably not going to crap out in the next 2 weeks. And if it does, I can take it back. But they also, you know, take a little bit more time and care at the stores, checking it out before they take it in and buy it too. So you have a little bit more assurance that they've checked in. This store particularly, like, they give a full write-up on the lens. They give it a rating on the quality of the glass, whether there's any dust, whether there's any scratches on it. So even before you go into the store, you've got all kinds of information, and then you've got the price that you can compare as well. So, no, I was really happy. The lens looked brand new. Like, there wasn't a mark on it anywhere, and only had it for a week, and so far just really like it. I mean, it's everything that I kind of wanted in a wide angle lens, but just sharper, better colors, just out of camera, everything looks better than the cheap knockoff that I had before. That really wasn't bad, but did what a $200 lens does, which is only last a couple of years.
Right. Okay, so Chris, you used to have one of these lenses.
I did, yes.
And you gave it to me for some, in exchange for some work that I did.
True.
Which I forget what that was, but so you had it, you got rid of it. Why did you get rid of it?
That was at a time when I went more into the prime lenses. And I think there was around the time where I got my 24 millimeter tilt shift lens,
mm-hmm.
which I tended to concentrate more on at that time. So didn't really use the 17 to 40 in quite a long time. And then I was just collecting dust at that point.
On the outside, no dust on the inside, Adam.
Okay. That's good.
So I love that lens. Great lens, but like Adam was saying, I use it almost never. Like it is the last lens that I think to use, even though it's kind of like, well, it's like a seatbelt in the car. Like you know, you don't really use it that often, but when you need it, you're really glad to have it.
True.
Okay. Skype's killing us. I think these jokes are landing better, and Skype is killing us.
Yeah, I know, it's all Skype. Your jokes are landing. Just as a little aside, as we're talking, I'm on Amazon Canada looking up Chris's book, and just an update for those in Canada who might be wanting to buy this, because I'm going to buy this today, Chris. So there's your plug for my purchase. But $40 on Amazon, and this Amazon Canada, it's probably a little cheaper in the U.S. and reviews are all good on the Canadian site. So you've got some high praise here. So here we go.
I'm glad those Canadians are very critical. I know.
Yeah, okay, so what is to like about the 17 to 40 specifically, Adam? What do you? Is there something? You've only had it for a week, so Chris, what do you like about it? What did you like about it? How is it different from say the 16 to 35?
Not that different, to be honest. The 16 to 35 is
different in one way.
Well, it's different in one way that it's the 16-35 is a bit brighter, right?
It's an f/2.8.
Yeah, so that is a difference. But other than that, I had both. The 17-40 is a bit more prone to chromatic aberration,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, I would shoot with both. I mean, that's yeah. I don't think they're that different, to be honest. Especially with these wide angles. Well, the price is of course different, but with these wide angles, you don't even need the speed that much.
That was the big thing for me. I mean, before I got the 17 to 40 from you, I was kind of looking at getting a wide angle lens because I use mine for video. It's very, very handy for shooting video, especially stuff you want to keep still, because when you shoot wide, it doesn't bounce around as much. And looking at the price difference, I thought, wow, you know, like 16 to 35 is, what was it, at least twice the price, brand new?
Yeah, it's more than twice, yeah.
So it is huge. I think the 16 to 35 is a heavier lens.
Yeah, bigger and heavier. Yeah, I know all this stuff because I just did all the research when I was looking at what to get. Yeah.
Right. Now, people think, oh, geez, you know, the difference between 17 to 16, not that much. So you're really paying for that 1 millimeter. That's actually a pretty big millimeter, by the way. So it's not, I don't know if it's worth the money. For me, it would not have been. I happen to like the 17 to 40. There is a little bit of the chromatic aberration that Chris talks about and around the edges that the image, you know, at 17 mils, you know, you get a little fall off or a little
bit. Color fringing they talk about, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you get a bit of distortion, a bit of pin cushion and barrel, but it's really stuff that you can easily fix in post.
Yeah. Also, it's a wide-angle lens.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can also fix it by shooting with an 85 if you want. You get less of it. So, it's a lens I recommend. If you want to go with a wide, it is an L lens. It is built well. I love mine when I do use it. And now, you know, I have... Since Adam bought his, and now I feel the need to bring mine out, you know, that competitive nature in me. So Chris, what draws you to shooting wide angle photography?
Well, it's a challenge. And that's why I try to spend a lot of time doing it, because I mean you have so many different things that you have to think about. First of all, when you shoot wide angle, you often end up having lots of stuff in the frame, and that can be very distracting. So it kind of forces you to become better at composing your shots. It tries to force you, or it will force you to be a bit more careful with what you keep in the frame and how you compose something. Another challenge is that you can't as easily separate the fore and the background, because the depth of field is different in a wide angle. So, but more depth of field means you can't just like throw the background out of focus. So again, it forces you to kind of up your game a bit. Let's see, what other challenges do we have? Well, in general, the whole thing of depth, those separations between fore and background will also help you add depth to a shot. When you have wide angle, you'll have to use different things. You'll have to start thinking about layers in your shot. What's the foreground? What's the middle ground? What's the background? You have to think more about using lines in your shots and these kind of things that you don't really need with longer lenses. So it's just kind of a natural progression for me. The more you advance in photography, it kind of becomes more fun to play with something like that, and to kind of dig your heels deeper into the photography.
That's what I find. It takes me right out of my comfort zone, because I'm used to shooting with the 85 mil is kind of my go-to lens, if not the 70-200, which I think Adam and I discuss every single week on this show. The 85, like with shooting photos of my kids at the playground, especially because, you know, if my kids are running around the playground, I don't necessarily want all the other kids in the background. But I've also, you know, being addicted to those long lenses and the out of focus backgrounds. And it is very easy, like Chris said, to separate your subject from the background. If you can, you know, blur everything behind you, just make it disappear. But I found myself going through my kids' photo albums, and all the photos look the same. I mean, you know, it's okay. I think, you know, where was it? I guess this was in Italy, but shouldn't there be more Italy in this photo?
It helps. Wide angle certainly helps you to have more context in the photo, to have more of the surroundings in the photo, and that will help you to place them better. There's also another thing you have to. You have to treat distance differently, because if you shoot the same shot from the same spot but with a wide angle lens instead of a telephoto, you'll be too far away from a subject. So you have to kind of get closer to the subject, which might again take you a bit outside of your comfort zone. But
like on a safari, for example.
Yeah, well, that's a bit different, but but let's say people photography, let's say street photography, if you shoot a bit on the wider side, you have to get closer, you'll have to get outside your comfort zone, and the shots in turn will be more impactful. A wide angle shot closer up is usually has more impact than a telephoto shot that you kind of shot from behind the corner like a paparazzi.
Because
that look of the photo kind of suggests that you were at the safe distance. And the moment you get closer, the viewer will know that you have been close, and that closeness translates to the picture, and that makes it just a bit more, a bit more direct.
I think one of the goals which you may not think about, I mean, it happens by default, is you as the photographer are kind of you're the stand-in for whoever's looking at your photo down the road. So you would like them to experience the same thing that you experienced. That's the way I kind of look at some of my photos, which is why I ask, hey, what do the tannery smell like? I mean, that's something that you can't show in the photo, but there is that overall feeling of being somewhere. Like I'm probably not going to go to Morocco, but I like to look at your photos from the perspective of, hey, that's where I am. So when you are shooting those wide angle photos, I do find that when I'm shooting events that it is nicer to shoot wide and get up close, because it is more intimate and people who see the pictures feel like they're part of it rather than a voyeur.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely true, yeah.
I think for me, the purchase, though, was also about just kind of, like Chris alluded to, taking photography like in a totally different direction for me. I mean, I've shot portraits and people photos primarily since I started when my kids were little, and having a 70-200 and an 85 and a 50 millimeter covers all those bases. And so I think over the last whatever 10 years of taking those photos, I'm comfortable doing that and it's safe for me. But this purchase was about doing something totally different. And I have to say, probably in the last 5 years, in terms of any purchase, it's probably to me the most exciting purchase because it's completely outside of what I would normally do and outside of my comfort zone. But also that's kind of the exciting part, like taking photography in a totally new direction where I have no clue really how to execute a wide angle photo in a way that I understand how to execute a portrait photo. And so I'm hoping, Chris, in the purchase of your book, I'm going to be really good at it really fast.
That's the goal. That is literally the goal of the book.
Adam's not a strong reader though, so this might take a while.
Yeah, I might need about 6 months to get through.
There's lots of pictures in the book too.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Right. And okay, so but now you mean you're still going to shoot pictures of your kids, right? So Chris, can you shoot people pictures? Typically if you're going to shoot people pictures, you don't reach for the wide angle lens.
No, true. Normally the wide angle lens is kind of the lens for landscape photos or for architecture photos, maybe a little bit for street photography if you're brave enough. But portraits, definitely you can definitely take portraits with wide angle lenses. I actually like doing that. I prefer that. My absolute favorite lens is my 24, which is a tilt shift, but I often use it without tilting and shifting, just as a regular prime lens. Mm-hmm. And I love that for portraiture because again, it gives you context. It kind of forces you into stronger compositions. So you would have to watch for the background. You might have to move your subject somewhere where the background is better. You have a lot more possibilities to play with leading lines and these kind of things because those get exaggerated in wide angle. So you can make them really strong elements of your photo. With the distance of the subject, I mean, you might end up getting a photo where, if you're not careful, where you get like weird distortion, like a big nose or something in the photo.
Big nose is the typical, the go-to.
That is something that can happen if you get too close. So I tend to do more environmental portraits that include the surroundings to some extent and that don't show the person filling the frame, but the environment gets important all of a sudden. And then you end up having photos that might even be useful in a different context. I mean, just imagine you have a photo of a person and you have lots of background in the photo as well. And just imagine doing a Christmas card or a page in a magazine with some text on it. Those photos lend themselves to that use really easily.
Mm-hmm. Now I watched you, I think it was on more than one occasion, do a full photo shoot for Tab 2, right?
That was Tab 2, yes.
Tab 2, where you shot the bulk of the photo shoot was with the 24mm tilt shift lens.
True, yeah.
I think that was up in, I'm going to say Karlsruhe.
That was in Karlsruhe, yes.
I think there's a video I think I shot of you shooting with that, which if we can track that down, I'll post a link. But I remember thinking at the time that, like, well, I fully knew that you knew even then much more than I knew about photography. So I trusted you. Normally, when I see people shooting people photos with a wide angle lens, people who don't know what they're doing, I'm ready for a hot mess. If you know what you're doing, which you did, the results are fantastic. And I remember thinking, wow, like these are some really great images of people with a wide angle lens.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I think I was probably going to say exactly what you're about to say.
Now, the tilt shift lens that I used there has a few additional advantages that regular wide-angle lenses don't really have. And one of them is you can change the focal plane in the shot. So I could try some really quirky shots, and I knew that those musicians were absolutely game in trying something wild. And one of the things we did that worked out just great is to have one of them really close to the camera and one really far in the background, and then tilt that focal plane so both are in focus. And that is, any other way, you'd have to composite a shot to make this possible any other way. So getting this in one shot was just phenomenal.
So it can be done. And just to speak to noses, because that, like I said, like that's always the issue, is, wow, my nose looks big in that. By no means am I a Hollywood insider, but of the few Hollywood movie actors I have met, you'll be surprised how many of them actually have big noses, like in real life. And it happens quite frequently, and you think, oh, well, that's, I didn't expect that. You know, like, wow, you're, and then as soon as you start photographing them or shooting them on video, whatever it is, with a longer lens, you realize, oh, that's why you're a movie star. Like you look fantastic on camera. I don't know how that applies to wide angle. I guess they don't shoot them as, you know, with the wide angle lenses too often. But some people, like the guys in the band, they were 100% cool with whatever you were doing. They weren't worried about, okay, just get me on this side, or, you know, make sure my nose doesn't look big compared to my ear or whatever it was. They just trusted you, and the images came out fantastic. So the moral of the story is you can shoot. And is there any part in the book about shooting people pictures with a wide angle lens?
Oh yeah, there's an entire chapter about the wide angle lens in practice, and it goes into landscapes and into architecture and into street photography and into portraiture. So covered all those bases.
All right. So Adam, get back. Is it at the door yet? Is Amazon that fast?
I don't think it's that fast. It is Prime though, so that means you know, maximum 2 days it'll be at my door.
All right. I look forward to hearing.
You don't have the same hour delivery?
No, not quite. Yeah,
no, we I don't have that either.
Prime Now.
Yeah.
There's a, we have it here in Tubingen. There's a guy just circling in a van outside.
Seriously?
No.
That would be funny.
I did order a book yesterday and it came today. I was impressed that in Tubingen we get the next day of an English book, no less. Yeah. It was a wide angle photography book I bought by a guy named Scott Bourne. No? Two inside? Okay. Is he going to sue me now?
Well, no, I don't think so.
He might sue me. I don't know. Does he still listen? We'll find out. All right. Reminder, our monthly photo challenge for November is fall colors. We're doing it late this year because I don't know how it is in Hanover, Chris, but falls come late.
Yesterday, yeah, same here.
It was 24 same degrees here yesterday. That's insane. In the beginning of November, you're out in a t-shirt. That doesn't make any sense. But so the colors are, they're coming late this year. So that's for the November monthly challenge is fall colors. Hashtag that two hosters monthly challenge, or hashtag.
That'll be tough in upstate New York, because when we were there, Rochester, the fall colors weren't really there. The leaves this year seemed to do something different. They were green and then they turned brown and fell off the tree like in one day.
Yeah.
So no, not a lot of fall colors this time. No idea why that happens.
Well, we did delay it. Hopefully it'll happen. If you can find it, great. If not, hey, we understand. I'm going to be in the same boat. That's why it's we're going to review those at the end of the month, at December the 1st or whatever the show airs. But also hashtag that Hey Hosers on Instagram, and Adam will... again, he'll tell you why you fail at photography. Photo challenge for next week, Adam.
Right.
Got to be the 17 to 40, obviously.
Of course it is, yeah.
Shoot something with the 17 to 40, I don't care what. And that's what I'm going to do as well. All right. Websites. Chris, where can people go to find everything about you?
ChrisMarquardt.com. Chris, okay. MarquardT. You'll put a link in the show notes.
I will put a link, but you can find him on the Instagram, the Facebook, the Twitter. What is it that, what are you most active on? Twitter?
That's probably Twitter, yeah. Not a lot on Facebook. I'm ramping up Instagram lately because just, yeah, it's so nice to not have people bitching about politics and just show pictures. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm going to, you just open up a door. I'm going to politicize everything you shoot. I'm coming there. No, you're right. I felt the same way. I actually quit Facebook. I think there's something that exists, but I don't post links even for our show anymore. And then, because exactly what you just described, we don't, it was making me sad. So
yeah,
Instagram is much better. I guess people are just lazier. Maybe. I don't know what it is, but it works out better for me. But go to chrismarquardt.com. You can find everything you want to know about that. And I highly recommend going on one of his photo workshops, whether it's in-house or the travel one. What do you got coming up for travel?
In February, I'll be up in Northern Norway on a ship, which is kind of cool. That's 2019. There's nothing this year. This year is the season is over, at least for me. And we'll be going to the Czech Republic and to Kyrgyzstan and to Romania.
In 2019.
That's in 2019. And maybe Greenland.
Well, they got the best bed sheets.
Yep, they do.
So sign up. Go check one of those out. I highly recommend. I've been to a couple of your local workshops, and everyone comes away having learned something, no matter what level you're at, and it's a great experience. And Chris is a nice guy, and Monica is very nice as well. You could do worse. So definitely check one of those out. All right, Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
And you can find mine at alanatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Oh, Chris, thanks for coming on the show, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Chris.
Thanks, guys, for having me. It was awesome.
I literally just placed my order on Amazon Wednesday. It'll be here Wednesday.
So cool.
That long? 5 days?
I think it's because it's a weekend. Yeah.
Next time you come to Germany, bring it. I'll sign it.
Okay, great. Will do.
There you go. You got reason to come now besides, you know, me being here.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, and that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.